Welcome to A Load of Old Toffee, episode number 57, brought to you in association with boroughguide.co.uk and David Lloyd Jim in Stevenage. Joined this evening by the ever-present, or almost ever-present, Mark Hollis and Dean Thompson.
Evening.
Hi, Steve.
And we've got a virginal guest as well. Agent Eves, Ryan Davis, long-time Stevenage fan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Evening, all.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
First game, I had to do a bit of research actually a little while ago about the first game, which was Hayes at home, 2-2, 1997. First game, been sort of sporadically going to games since then, and then I think it was around 2002, 2003, started going more and more regularly and got my first half season ticket last year and first full season ticket this year.
2-2, was that a cup game or a league game?
Get one next year.
League game, Hayes scored and can't remember the other one was. A little bit of help from my dad, who was a bit more very statter than I was.
You've always stood like a little bit down from me, haven't you? You've always been in and around that same area on the East Terrace, haven't you?
Yeah, I think when we first started going, it was on the north, which I think when we first went, we didn't really know what the situation was. We kind of just came along because, Dad's actually a West Ham supporter, and we moved out from Redbridge to Silverdraft in Hertfordshire, Essex border, and sort of started coming too expensive to go to West Ham, so we wanted an alternative. Went to a couple of games over at Bishop Stortford, but wasn't really impressed, and then came to Stevenage and kind of were just hooked from the first go. I think the atmosphere was decent, the crowd was better.
A lot of new fans these days probably get that same experience, don't they? Cars, didn't have much else to do, went along, hooked immediately.
I think Dad was really into it because when he used to go to West Ham, it was standing up and it was good sing song and looked like the atmosphere, and I think for him it was almost an element of nostalgia with it. He could come and he could stand up and have a good sing, and it wasn't the usual songs either. It was, you know, people making up stupid songs every
week.
We used
to have good songs, didn't we, out there?
It was good fun. Yeah. Where were you when Alford scored? And
You're talking to the master of stupid songs. Yeah. Well, directly
master,
opposite you.
Second master, Lighthouse is the king of it. But
anyway, less of the jukebox bandals. On with the with the podcast.
After silence,
few things to talk about.
Up his own joke. Jesus.
Few things to talk about. Of course, we've got the match on Sunday. We've got a few things that have been brought up on the forum, which have been well worth talking about. We've also got Play Your Cards Right.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick that off now? Because
yeah,
I've just got moaned up.
We got, yeah, it all went a little bit wonky last week, didn't it? So, okay, so it's been a bit of a rush today. So thanks to Pete Heyman of Borough Guide fame for supplying me with the information, because I haven't been at work, so I couldn't do non-work stuff.
Right. Jesus Christ.
What are you laughing at? Is it something I said? Or yeah, the fact that you're just there scrolling through your
phone? I'm looking at who Ryan would have seen against Hayes that time, actually, on boroughguide.co.uk.
Do you mind putting that away? If we're going to be playing this game, you can put that away now.
You win every week.
Well, take it more seriously and get off your phone.
Paul Fairclough would have been the manager, is that right?
Yeah.
There we are. That's as far as I'm allowed to get.
Let's check his phone for that.
That's as far as I've got.
1997. Okay, so I think we're back to you for the first question, aren't we?
Yep.
Okay. So the last minute question.
So have we covered all of Sunday's game now, yeah?
No, we're going to introduce the game and then we're going to talk about the match Sunday.
Okay.
And then we're going to...
Look at his face.
Hasn't listened to a single... What have we been recording? Five minutes yep. now? Hasn't listened to a single
Right, Dean, are you now with us? You're here and you're with us. Yeah. Right.
So we're going to ask the question, then we're going to go over the match and then we'll play
the match. I thought we'd covered the match. I thought we'd spent more than enough time on the match.
Brilliant. Right. So a bit of a last minute question, a bit naff, but it serves a purpose. As of about 3 minutes ago, when I refreshed Borough Chat, how many posts has Dean Thompson made on Borough Chat in its latest incarnation?
What? Ever?
Yep. Well, no, not ever, in its latest incarnation.
Well, when was that then? We don't know.
If you'd have said how many tweets, I think...
37.
Got that one. 37. Right.
I would say probably in the region. Do you want to go, Ryan? Go,
let Ryan it's round to you. They're very polite of you, but there's there is an order.
I'd say it's got to be somewhere in the region of 1,000, at least.
Okay. 37 since this version of Borough Chat has been going.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you meant like this.
You've done more than that today.
I was going to say, you've done more in that one thread asking for input.
I was thinking around the same sort of line, so...
So, you have to give me an actual number. Around 1,000 isn't...
Well, it was a number. 1,000.
Okay. Well, around 1,000 isn't a number. 1,000
number. What time's kick-off? Around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, around 3 o'clock. Right, over to you then, Ryan.
I'll go with 984.
Oh, I see what you've done. You've gone slightly lower. 2,867.
God, I want to get hold of myself, don't I? I need a hobby.
On top of your tweets, that is.
Yeah.
You should take up Candy Crush or something like that. Take you away from it.
I know, I've gone
off remarry.
Yeah. No wonder I got time for a date.
Okay, so when we get round to it, Steve, you will be going first. And brilliant.
Okay.
We'll have a fantastic intro to play your cards right.
Are you going to tell us the year?
Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
There was a point of doing
some crackers. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. Oh, right, new boy. 1998-1999.
Oh, Paul Faircuff would have been the manager.
There is some fantastic stuff in here.
Right. Good.
Okay.
Right, Sunday.
Tell me about Sunday.
Well,
I was in a right.
Let's talk about Sunday.
It was 0-0.
Cup game, 0-0. 14 chances on goal. Hit the woodwork 3 times.
Well,
we were unlucky, weren't we, against a decent side?
Dad said it was 2, but I remember it was 3. One in the first half as well, I think.
I don't even remember. I thought
Beardo. I only remember one, actually. But
Rory Deacon. No, he didn't at the post. The post got in the way. I don't remember Beardo.
Who said that? Beardo headed it from the back post. Yeah. He was quite close to the goal line, but he headed it.
I only thought
Beardo hit the bar because you said that live on Three Counties last night.
Yeah, and I only said that because I read it on Borough Chat yesterday.
So they hit the woodwork once.
I don't remember the first half one. I think that was in the post-match interview. Someone said the post got in the way. Graham said that, yeah.
Oh, did he? Post got in the way. Those damn posts.
They move and stuff, don't they?
Right, tell me about it. I was eating a cheeseburger in Hamburg at that point. I haven't seen anything that happened. Anyone that played, any write-ups, any highlights, or any words.
Well,
about the
good thing was we kept a clean sheet, which you said we wouldn't last week, didn't you? Or somebody did.
We got Chris Day to thank for that.
Is that a good thing in the circumstances?
Well, firstly, well played Maidstone. I thought, you know, they looked better than a Ryman Premier League side, and they looked pretty lively. I thought they're 9, 10 and 11 could easily have played in any League 2 side.
7 was decent as well, I thought.
Yeah.
I couldn't pass a ball in the midfield though, could they really?
No.
And their back four were a bit rocky.
Looked a bit shaky, didn't they? Keeper played well, pulled off a couple of saves.
One down to his right, I remember, in the first half.
Yeah. Alright, one down to his right.
Okay, so one good save, we've hit the woodwork once.
3 times,
probably.
On account of it.
Who hit in the first half?
I can't remember. I just distinctly remember there being 3 times we hit the post. The 2 in the second half, I can definitely vividly see them.
Yeah, because one. Right. Barnard had a shot that went across goal and it ended up going out for a corner somehow, didn't it?
So why did we not beat a side 3 times, 3 leagues below us?
Not good enough. Well, were we good enough? Were we unlucky on the day? Was it the magic of the FA Cup, Dean?
I don't think we were unlucky, really. To be honest, we could have
easily
gone out.
Seen a few tweets. I got to the airport and got some Wi-Fi, and I scrolled through my timeline. There was
10 minutes to go. Their lad's gone through on goal. Chris Day saved with his feet, as he does 80-90% of the time. Well done, Chris Day.
It reminded me of the goal Naismith scored when we played Everton. Similar through on goal, but Naismith had the conversion to get it under him, whereas I think, you know, lower level player who got through on goal and maybe didn't place it as much as he should have done, but still Chris Day, I think, was in the right place at the right time. But that wasn't the only, I mean, they had 2 before that where Ash and Ronnie managed to get, despite being on the wrong side of them, managed to get back in front of him. I think you know, those three chances could have quite easily. But
I didn't feel that we were in danger of losing it, apart from when he got through. But I still wasn't sitting in my seat, clenching my buttocks.
Right. Yeah, but had he gone through and put that away with 10 minutes to go, could you see us getting back
in? No. No.
That's the big worry, isn't it? And I'll say to you on Sunday, the biggest memory for me on Sunday, and it's something that we've been banging on about for years and years, when we had a corner, they headed it clear, and all of a sudden, we're defending 4-2.
Yeah.
It was almost like 4-2.
Well, I had two men up at a corner.
Yeah.
Leave it out.
Like two men
I'm
up.
Not even sure they did.
They've come.
No, I think
they just broke quite
quickly, break,
didn't
yeah.
But they, 4-2.
Two of our lads against, yeah.
Brilliant. If they've got,
it was like Greg Tansey was back.
If they've got a corner and we clear it, where does it end up coming?
We're getting done from our own corner.
And we were offside.
And there
corner.
Was a bit of a disagreement between whoever the two players furthest back were about whether or not they were deciding whether Ash should go up for the corner.
Yeah.
And then there were sort of two players sort of half back,
this
but not really. And then
sounds shambolic.
Can I talk you through the offside corner?
Offside from a corner.
Now guess who took the corner? Guess who took the corner?
I don't know. Played Dean.
Nobody unusual.
Who took the corner?
Nobody unusual. On a set piece?
Yeah, no. But I'm saying this, at the starting 11, there was nobody unusual. Who took the corner? Think the least likely player to take a corner.
Brilliant. I was going to go have a winger, but obviously...
No. We're going to have to hurry you.
I can't even begin to think.
D.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Darius went over.
Was he all right, or did he try and dribble it?
he put a ball in the quadrant.
Good.
Didn't touched it to
Chris
Whelpdale. I don't know.
Who
touched it back to him when Darius was offside in the quadrant. He was offside in the quadrant. I love that word. What, don't hold your head
it's
like
that.
It's
not the first misunderstanding that those two have had, Eva, Whelpdale and Charles.
And there was a misunderstanding between him and Lee. As well,
Darius and Lee.
Which Darius and somebody around us
let
Charlie Lee know that Darius was in the right, and
so
Charlie
that's Charlie
Lee
and Chris Whelpdale both made mistakes there, have they?
Gave the stare to
Rowe. I think Darius gets a lot of stick, but I actually thought he had a good game.
He was good.
Admittedly against a lower league team, but
Darius has been good for me last 4 or 5. That back five for me. The back five for me is playing really well, and Ash is playing obviously with a knock.
I've seen posts of people saying that we look at shambles at the back.
Nah, I don't think so.
Based on stats, I think we have, but if you actually watching the games, I wouldn't say that at all.
I mean, yeah, we let in 2 at Tranmere and 3 at Portsmouth, which so it looks like you're not, but you know the Portsmouth goals are a couple of real good strikes in there, and of course Tranmere was, you know, Tranmere wasn't
clean
it?
Sheets against Burton and.
And Burton were, you know, third, second,
yeah,
top.
Second, yeah,
yeah.
On goal,
managed to keep Maidstone out as well.
So I'm happy with a back five, but that's where it pretty much ends, doesn't it?
See, you've given some credit to Maidstone from that game. See, their assistant manager's tweeted today. Have to say, after reading Mr. Wesley's programme notes, Maidstone United didn't get one mention. No need for a team talk. Hashtag fired up. Hashtag respect.
Dear, I
don't buy programmes, but I've got one this week on account of the fact I was in it. I didn't buy it. Good old Mervyn sent it through the post to me. I did read his programme notes. He didn't, did he? He sort of talked around the subject. We've been a little club going to a bigger club. We've been this... But
it's not in Graham's DNA
to talk about the opposition.
I'm going to
screenshot these and send them to Graham, because the next one he sent was, I really hope Stephen and Jeff C don't complain about our 3G service, as it wouldn't surprise me. Don't have one then, mate. If everyone whinges about it.
Who said that? The manager?
Nicky Southall, the assistant manager.
Oh, him.
This is the one who put in the sublime scouting job of saying that we were going to be decent at set pieces. I think Sunday proved that that to be wrong.
In fairness, why wouldn't you complain about the 3G surface? It's not.
Yeah, just don't have one. It's all right, though, because he's played in all four leagues and made 820 appearances for Hartlepool. Brilliant. Hartlepool, it says. Grimsby, Gillingham, Bolton, Norwich, Nottingham Forest. Now assistant manager at Manchester United.
Well done.
So, Hartlepool.
Hartlepool.
There you go. Well done, Nicky.
It's all words, isn't it? I mean,
well done. We'll get them across. We'll get them across to Graham.
I don't think Graham is one forever going into a
he couldn't give a monkeys,
welcoming managers and opposing teams. He doesn't really give a monkeys about on that.
Let's do that now.
I haven't got a problem with that, have you?
I don't think it's really his job to.
No.
Absolutely.
You
know,
mate, maybe when you're playing Sunday League, you'll go around and give each other a cuddle before kickoff and that.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't want to read. Playing Sunday League. I don't want to read a manager saying welcome to, because they don't mean it.
No. That's Andy Green's job.
Or the chairman.
It's only words.
Yeah. Which I did notice in the programme. Chairman don't bother the programme anymore. It's all Mr. Webber, is it?
Yeah.
Mr. Webber writes his bit in there. Nothing from the chairman.
Well, got a few bits for Mr. Webber, I think, a little bit later on. We'll bring them up.
Have you?
Well, just, you know, as the podcast progresses, no doubt.
Very polite, so, isn't it? We'd never call Bob Mr. Making.
The replay. What are you making of it? That's going to be a tough one, isn't it? 2,500... Home fans, maximum 300 odd.
Well, the good thing is,
fans live on TV.
The good thing is, we'll know that, and we'll know who we're up against now. We'll know their players, won't we?
I've had a taste. Not maximum 600 Stevenage fans. It's
300, I think.
Oh, did you? Sorry,
yeah,
I thought you said 331. 15%. Sorry, I thought you said 600. I do beg your pardon.
Well, we could replay that back just to check, but
that's fine. I believe you. That's fine. If I've made another mistake,
I don't think we play to crowds anyway, though, do we?
No.
I don't own.
I actually think Deacon might be the key against them. I don't rate him that highly. I don't think he's a bad player, but I don't rate him that highly. But when he came on...
He did well.
He did.
He wasn't fantastic in the middle, but when he went out wide, their fullbacks were there for the taking. Mm. And
see, what Rory has is he's got pace, yeah, hasn't he?
Yeah, like lightning raw pace. And he got
that. Raw. Rory.
He can get round a man, can't he? He's without touch.
Make a note of that one.
If they're not on their game, they're not going to get near him. And he delivered some decent balls in as well when he got round. And he hit the post. Or the post got
away. Post got away.
easy to say, why didn't he start? But
no. We've said that for the last 18 months.
I don't think he's warranted a start, really. I mean, he's had been good in fits and starts, but he's not. Mm. It's not like every time he comes on you think, yeah, he should be playing, I think.
So he had a good 20 minutes a few weeks ago, didn't he? And then he came on the week after that, and or did he start the week after that up at Carlisle, didn't he? And he was absolute pants that day.
Yeah.
That was the day he had a shot from 18 yards, wasn't it? And it went out for a throw in 20 yards out.
10 others, I think, could be put in that bracket.
And that probably frustrates Graham, doesn't it? Because you've got a player that can do that for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you put your trust in him and don't deliver. Mm.
Charlie Adams was disappointing, I thought.
Yeah,
Saturday,
you weren't happy
Sunday.
With him, were you?
He's probably too good. Probably too good for that standard.
No, he was a bit quiet, wasn't he?
Yeah.
As was Petty, to be fair.
I was going to say, how was young Mr. Pett? They were a bit concerned about him.
What do you
think? I spoke to a...
I'm reluctant to criticise him. I think the potential is there for everyone to see. But I think he reminds me when Boyd first started playing... And didn't quite have the strength to get round a player, but you could see the technical aspects were all there.
What did you
and
say?
I think, yeah.
He got the ball on that left hand side at one point. I can't remember what you said now, but he always looks to bring it down and go, doesn't he?
Yeah. Every time the ball gets played to him, as soon as he touches it, it's down at his feet and off he goes. And that's not a criticism.
No. But either he don't beat his man or something happens till he gets to the box.
I don't know whether it's he's scared of making a mistake because he gets up against a defender and he doesn't look like he wants to take him on. I don't know whether he's, just reluctant about losing the ball or what, but I think he's got the capability to actually beat players with his skill and he sort of seems like he doesn't put it into action. I don't really know. It's a bit of a...
Well, they were a bit concerned about him, Mason. I spoke to Maidstone website, let's call it, on
Stones Radio, is it?
Something like possibly, yeah. Somebody, anyway, on last week.
They had a couple of old jokers, didn't they? They were quite good, actually. had a quick listen to some of the playback of the commentary last night. They were quite funny.
Oh, they did such a professional interview with them.
Did you?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It says a lot of good things.
Oh. Is it somewhere we
would listen to it back?
But, is there somewhere we can listen to it?
We might have to dig that one out.
Oh, so there's a lot of good stuff in that interview.
Did you come out with some Wesleyisms?
Nope. It was a lot of just obvious stuff. What's this player like? Yeah, he's all right. If he plays well Saturday, he'll
play not like you can say, is
it? If you don't, then you might beat us. Not like you can say, is there? If we play well, you'll lose. If we don't, we'll scrape a 0-0 draw and get us home. Dragged that out for nearly a quarter of an hour.
Did you?
Oh. I think it's just going forward that we seem to have.
This is my biggest concern.
And people are saying, we need a goal scorer, we need this, we need that. I don't think you can really pinpoint it at any one area, but we never look like scoring. We get a few decent chances in a game, but they always seem to come out of nothing. We don't seem to create and actually, you know, craft chances. And I think that's, albeit they had three chances from lucky balls over the top or whatever they were. We didn't. When was the last time really that you can remember us creating a proper clear cut opportunity? And I can't really think of one. Most of our goals come from.
Well, Sunday we did have one, didn't we? Deacon put the ball across.
Well, Dale
in front of goal couldn't kick the header down and put it over.
You can't criticise him for that, though, can you? He's not an out and out number nine. If that had fallen to Barnard, he'd have probably tucked it away. But his facial expression hasn't changed.
I think any professional footballer should be scoring that.
You should be scoring that, Dino.
How far up is he?
4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, score that.
Yeah, but it's quite high.
I think he knew it as well. If
it was quite
high. I think the reaction from him
was the way he came away. He was kind of he knew that he'd.
I didn't get out of my chair for that one. I got out of my chair
for roasting in the change room.
Yeah, I got out of my chair for beer days because I thought that had looped in.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you trod on my toe as well. Yeah,
Ken Jude would have been very disappointed with me getting out of my chair for a shot that's gone wide. he'd have been there shaking his head at me. You're not supposed to get out of your chair if it's going wide.
Okay.
How did you find Sunday? You weren't in the gantry,
oh,
were you?
Weird. Sitting there in amongst.
He kept talking
people.
To himself. He kept saying players' names out loud that touched the ball. It was bizarre.
I was getting a fair bit of stick actually from you dead did. In front of me, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone kept looking and doing like cutthroat signs at you as if to say, "Have you been sacked, Steve?"
Yeah, it was purely on religious grounds, of course. You know. Don't do commentaries on Sundays. Or Thursdays. But that's another thing. No, a little bit different.
Well, hang on, come on then. What's?
I want to do.
Don't say that and then roll on. So you're not allowed into the replay then, I assume.
Well, Maidstone demanded a fee to Three Counties for that game.
Which they're fully entitled to do.
A few hundred quid, wasn't it?
500 quid, I think it is.
Was it really? That's expensive, those little bits of black rubber, though, aren't they, for the pitch? They are pricey.
I've got a boot full of them. I used to have a boot full of them when I was a football manager.
No, I think it's the norm, and a football league against a football league club, it's the deal is done. There's no further expenses.
Plus, you know,
but football league against non-league.
Three Counties on Sunday, it would have interrupted the Guardian phone-in, wouldn't it? So.
Non-league club are fully entitled to claim a fee, which they took the offer up on. I'm hoping that
you should go down there and just do your own commentary.
I'm wondering if Radio Kent paid a fee, but there you go.
You should go down there and do it. Set up a live stream from the terrace. You and Dean just go down there and do it.
It would have been quite good fun actually to listen to it on Sunday.
I think you should, because then you could do like real.
We had a couple of drinks before the game as well, so that helped.
Oh, right.
Oh, talk about that in the bar. We walked into the bar.
It was.
You couldn't get to the bar. How long it took? Probably 20 minutes to get a beer. How many red and white shirts, scarves, whatever
did
we
see? Me, Steve and Keith Bell. And that was it.
I didn't even see him. So it was just the two of us.
Amber and black.
Black and it's not amber, it's yellow, isn't it? It's not amber. They call it amber. What? It's not, it's yellow. And it was just...
It's orange.
It was amazing. It was just an away game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think attendance, we just edged it, didn't we? I think it was 3,000, was it? So I think it was just more home fans.
Yeah.
The
final,
no one
noisy,
though,
were they?
Come out to go and watch you
no,
play against
they
the
weren't noisy.
Club.
I was. They weren't noisy, were they?
No. Keep hearing them banging on about how brilliant the support was and everything. that was not like Stevenage away at Birmingham or Newcastle or,
no.
or a, you know, Stevenage in the non-league days away at...
But what you have to remember is they are a big club.
They sung more than Lee RMI used to.
Yeah, that's true. Dino, well, I think you're going to bring us up. You're just about to, I think.
What? What bit?
Post on the... interesting post on the forum yesterday.
About attendances and, why... Did you read this, Mark?
Nope.
No, you read it. You participated, didn't you?
In, yeah.
Quite long.
And why people can't be bothered, really.
To be honest, I thought something was quite sad, really, reading it.
Yeah. When they say people, people as in the fans?
Fans,
yeah.
Long-term fans that actually right. are like...
I think it was probably the best thread that I've read for a while. Yeah. People were like really honest, open about what they thought, but I actually thought that what people were putting forward as reasons were pretty actually, you know, a lot of people would turn around and go, yeah, I totally resonate with that.
There were people that had been going for years and years and just, you know, held a season ticket for 10 years or whatever and I've got no inclination to renewing their season ticket next season purely because of what they're seeing out on the pitch. And it was pretty much along that line, wasn't it?
Mm, it was quite damning in places, I felt.
I think it was an interesting point that I think two people made separately. Sev and the Big Mac, whatever that is, were that what are we actually aiming for now? And I think that that really struck with me, that when we were in the conference, it was the goal, and it was a unanimous agreed goal, was to get into the Football League. And then we achieved it, and then we had a couple of years of overachieving, potentially. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't think there's one coherent objective or direction that we're heading in, and I think before it was interesting because we were always aiming towards something, whereas now I think, well, I mean, what is the objective? Is it avoiding relegation? Is it getting to the playoffs? Is it to win the league?
Do you want to get back into League One where you're going to be struggling again?
Exactly, and I think that's when I sort of tried to, you know, put my thoughts into words. I think that was what I came up with, was that it feels a little directionless at the moment, and that's not something that you would expect from a Wesley Stevenage.
It's interesting you say that, because I've been away all weekend with a load of Premier League fans, a good few Spurs season ticket holders, this, that and the other, and we all sat around our phones at the airport on Sunday and the Spurs game was coming in and I was laughing at everybody and blah blah blah, and of course I immediately get, oh shut up Hollis, what do you know about football, you support Stevenage, blah 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 blah.
They could have stopped with the first bit, couldn't they?
Brilliant. And I sort of went, well, we had all those years of success, and I went, I've just sort of accepted now that I've probably had all the success I'm probably going to have in my lifetime. Those few years of what we achieved in those few years is probably more than the majority of football fans will ever see their football club have.
Yeah, you're dead right.
So I've sort of now gone, well, we'll probably mooch around the middle of League Two for a few years. Might have a.
But will you still go and watch Stevenage play?
Yeah, I'll still go. Yeah, of course I will. It's interesting you bring those two individuals up, because Sev lives as far away from Stevenage in one direction as Le Big Mac does in the other direction. But Sev's here week in, week out, home and away.
I've got Adam's post up here, actually.
Adam isn't, and you know, I'm not criticising him for that, but it's interesting to see. It's probably, you know, the distance wise, there's probably not a lot in it.
I mean, this is good. This is it. When we were in the conference, I enjoyed the dream of what eventual promotion could have been, what it could have meant, endless possibilities, and getting promoted and having the unique group of players we had. We enjoyed a period that is impossible to match, unless we see a dramatic increase in finance. Supporting a club that's had its best years ahead of them is something that I see as particularly attractive. The idea of supporting a club who may have already had peaked is less so.
But it's more than just finance, isn't it?
I just find that strange.
It's more than just finance. You could get somebody come in and pump millions into the club, but you're still only going to get 3-4. What's the potential? 5,000?
Well, I don't know.
Is that enough to sustain a football club moving forward?
No. The only way that's ever, I've said it a million times, the only way that's ever going to grow and have a massive fan base and entice people in to go and see is if something absolutely ludicrous happens and Phil sells up and you end up getting in some multi ridiculous millionaire, even more millions than what Phil's got, that is going to plough money in, that are going to go and take the offer up at Nebworth and build a ridiculous stadium, and they're going to put in place these bus routes and stuff, that because they're just going to plough money into it, and they're going to buy the best team, and they're going to do all that, all stuff that people like us would be against, I would imagine.
Well, Rushden did that, didn't they? But look at them.
Mm. There's quite a few examples. Darlington, another one.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you've got like a Yeovil, who I would say are very similar to us, who've got themselves into the Championship. Didn't have a cat in hell's chance, did they?
Yeovil are very different though. They've got, there's not as many
ridiculous catchment areas.
Yeah, they don't have any.
And do we propose a good prospect for someone with a load of money? I'm not convinced we do, really. I mean,
I think we do.
I think we've got decent infrastructure, training facilities and all that sort of thing, but as far as a catchment area, is our fan base really going to grow that much? I don't know. I mean, it's going to take 20, 30 years before we start seeing
massive growth. You pump money in and you get a brand new stadium and everything, you're going to get bigger crowds, certainly at the outset.
Which is strange, because I disagree entirely with people that say when we put that new North Stand up, it's going to entice people in, because it won't. People go, it's still the same stadium, it's just a nice stand in an old stadium. And I'm not going to, I love our stadium to bits, but people outside it are still going to go, it's still Stevenage's little old ground.
I don't think it comes down
to still the same thing. No, I don't think, if you want to go and watch Stevenage, you don't give a monkey's whether you stand on a terrace or if you're going to sit in a brand new stand. In fact, there's probably people would prefer that to actually go into the terrace than they would to sit in a brand new stand.
That thread got onto the subject of the entertainment put in front of them, didn't it? And, you know, I had it up a minute ago, but East Hearts Borough came in and said it would be, probably be a shot in the arm if we had a new manager, just for a change.
Did he?
Yeah, just for a change, he came up with that.
Change tack.
You know, people would come back if Graham was no longer the manager.
Did Peter... I don't even know whether people actually.
Because you're a little bit on the anti side of Graham at the moment.
I'm
aren't
actually
you?
A lot more on the fence than I'll probably give out.
No, I know.
I had a text over the weekend, Brian. Somebody dropped a C-bomb on Westgate over the weekend. And,
I said, we've got to get this guy on. He's just called Graham.
That's what Dean checks in. Got to get Andrew Reeves on. He's just dropped the C-bomb on Graham.
I'll take that. It was quite soon after the final whistle.
Yeah, that tends to be the the way my posts go. I'll vent immediately after the final whistle.
Thinking I'll do that.
Like Borough Albie. Or still, he sits at home and rants at his girlfriend about Graham.
I still think a lot of what I do rant out, I read back afterwards and think, yeah, okay. You know, it wasn't maybe entirely accurate. But I do still think that my standpoint, I am slightly more, I think, the time's running out. I think whilst he brings massive benefits to the table, I'm a bit fed up with it. We seem so unorganised going forward.
Yeah.
And I think that it's not... We've got... the thing that seems to wind me up the most, I actually think, and this isn't to open up the debate of is this the best Stevenage team ever, but I think we've actually got a really good group of players that... are actually really good technically. Now, I understand Wesley's mentality that he wants to play direct football with lower level players to remove the element of technicality that you might not get from lower level players. But I think in players like Lee, Welkdale, Parrott, Pett, we've actually got really technical players, and actually the foundation's there to play good passing, attacking football. But I think he's shackling certain players by making them blindly hoof it over their shoulders. I mean, the midfielders might as well not be there, because there's so many times that, and I don't know whether it's because they're told not to come deep or because they're expecting the ball to be played long, but there doesn't seem to be a great deal of outlet from the defence other than to play the long ball. And I'm not a biggest fan of Walton, but I actually thought when he came on, what he did offer was picking the ball up from the back four. But him playing the long ball instead of the defenders. So I guess it's kind of...
And that's kind of... And I'm going to pick Rory out because it's easy to. And he was playing right in front of us when he came on. And I think Walton had the ball and he actually went potty, didn't he, Walton?
Mm.
And I looked because he couldn't pick a pass. And he went, rrr! And he had to turn and go back to Ash. And I looked at Rory there, and he weren't even looking at Walt.
Mm.
He weren't even looking to be available for that pass. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, you're a footballer, but you've got to have some intelligence to play in this team. And I'm not saying he's not intelligent, but you've got to make a run to go and get the pass. You can't just expect it to come to you, and you know Waltz is not going to play it through two defenders to get to you. And you know that's why I like players like Beardsley, who's not going to stand still. He's going to go and have a look. Parrott, he's not going to stand still. He's going to go and make an angle or yeah, go drop back or you know. And
I think that's actually
Pet
one
does
of
it,
Lee's.
Pet does.
I think that's one of Lee's biggest faults. And whilst I think he's been excellent when he's been on his game, I think he's moving backwards. He doesn't offer for me as much as maybe he could do.
I think his game's been stifled though. I mean, I always remember Trebs in one of the early games, the commentaries, the first game I think he saw, he says, I like that Charlie Lee. He's got pictures in his mind that other players haven't got.
Yeah.
And you kind of see that in him. And now I think he's getting to the point where he's thinking, well, there's no point in me trying that because nobody else is.
And I think that's why there's some finger pointing going on, because Darius wants him to do the basic, whereas Charlie Lee's thinking about the flowery and pretty and I could have done that, whereas Darius just wants him to go down the line and make a run, because Darius has got the ball at feet at left back. What's he going to do with it? Either he's going to go on one of his runs or he's going to play it down the line. And how many times did he go on one of his runs on Sunday? Quite a few times, didn't
reasonably
it? Reasonably no
successfully, though, I might add.
Yeah,
I think I was thinking about this as well. That slight, you know, divergent from the original topic, but that actually, if you look at what Darius is good at, is he good to put up front? Is he good to play left back? I actually think if you stuck him, this is a bit of a weird thing to say, but if you stick him on the left wing, could he actually use his defensive mindset to offer cover for the fullback, but whilst also go on his runs that he does without leaving massive gaps behind him?
Mark?
He had a little run at left wing, didn't he?
Did he?
He did for a little while. He played a few times in front of Scott Laird. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did, because I used to go potty that he wasn't covering and doing his defensive duty in Scott Laird. Might have been when we first went into League 2 or
maybe
when we first went into League 1. Whenever it was at the start of that season when Laird, he was getting a roasting. I remember at the beginning of the season, Laird's lost it. And he wasn't getting
any cover.
For half a dozen of the early goals we conceded, it all come from crosses from Laird inside. But he was getting doubled up because the left winger wasn't coming back. I swear it was down. I might be completely wrong.
The gentleman in front of us of Row E on Sunday wanted Akimo on and Darius up front. Now, I don't want to unsettle that back four at the moment, and that's one of the questions that was on Borough Chat today from Bulldog Borough. Given Darius's upturn in form and Birra and Jerakimo's return to fitness, who's our best available left back? Darius, for me.
You're answering a different question now, aren't you? Is Darius our best available left back, or do you not want to break up the back five?
I don't want to break up the back five.
Right, so that doesn't answer the question. Is Darius
our best? I think our only left back is.
I agree with you entirely, but.
Yeah.
He is our only left back, though. Because Beera's not a left back.
No.
So he may be able to play left back, but he's not a left back. And Charles is, in my opinion, not a left back. He can play left back, but I don't think you're utilising all of his strengths by playing him left back.
Well,
whereas Akimo is
Graham.
A left back. That is his job.
Neither does Graham. He sat and said on here, didn't he? That he's not. He's too many laps in concentration, therefore he's going up front.
I don't think he's a target man either, though. And I think that's the frustrating thing for me about Darius, is that he gets put up front, and because he's big and he's strong, he gets utilised as a target man. But actually, his strengths are when he's got the ball at his feet and he's running at players. Because he's unconventional, he does what Charlie Lee does so well, which is he gets the ball and he's aggressive with it. He runs at defenders and he creates opportunities through that. And I think that's what Darius is good at. You look at the goal he scored against Reading, if you can remember that. He got it out on the right hand side and he cut in onto his. And I'm sorry, but by any standard of footballer, that was a superb finish.
Absolutely.
And it was because he had the ball at his feet and he had space to run into where it could be dangerous.
I love it when he gets the ball 30, 40 yards out and he takes a run at defences.
They don't know what to do.
No. You don't know what he's going to do. He don't know what he's going to do. But it's.
No, I agree.
It's exciting. And we don't have enough of that.
Yeah. But going back to you saying that we put him up there and use him as a target man. it ain't just what we do with Darius, is it? It's what we do with Beardo, it's what we do with Darius, it's what we do with Charlie Lee, it's what we did with Welton.
But it works,
it's what
it
we
works
used to
with
do with Byron Harrison, it's what we used
Beardo
to do.
Came on Sunday, and along with Deacon, I thought the pair of them changed the flow of that game. Mm. Beardo probably had three chances, didn't he?
Beardo was the one person who could have caused them a lot of trouble as well, because he was going to put them under pressure and make them make mistakes. And they were the sort of team, no disrespect meant, but because they're lower down, that they're going to make mistakes. Because, you know, that's at the end of the day why they're not playing for a Football League club. And I think that he's the sort of player who would have...
He's just not fit, is he? He picked up a knock and hasn't been able to shake it off. So they haven't been able to use
Where's
him.
Marriott?
Sorting out the pet insurance for Rusty's dog, I think, isn't
it? Actually, that is
played well. Played well at Bury, didn't he? And then he got injured at Oxford.
Thought he was coming back.
I thought he was coming back.
Programme notes a couple of weeks ago said that he was 1 week away. Yeah. And I was expecting, oh, Hart Senior Cup, perfect. He'll come into that.
No.
And nothing. So whether he's had another setback or not. But
we'll have to investigate.
That's a question.
Who's our fourth best player then? That's ruling out Lee, Wells and Welkdale.
Ronnie.
Lee Wells, Welkdale. Who's fourth best player? I'd
probably promote Ronnie in the top three and drop.
I was going to say, that's if you agree with that.
I'm not even
agreeing
with Welkdale.
He's scored a few goals, hasn't he? And I think he's in there on that.
Do you know, we've got that sort of a squad where it's difficult to pick. Your best player. Who is your best player? I think on their day, any of them could be your best player.
Marriott, I think, deserves a mention from what I've seen of him. I think
arguably Walton does as well.
And Beera?
Walton looked alright for me pre-season, but in competitive games he's not done it for me. He didn't really float my boat on Sunday either. But I don't think it was his fault.
McAllister?
Is that Charlie Adams?
McAllister's done alright for me in the month he's been with us. He's unspectacular.
Jeremy Jebb?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And I went for it and all. I didn't argue.
I didn't because I
didn't.
Was he not allowed to play?
Well, I've been called
Saturday.
Jack.
Was he not allowed to play?
Arsenal probably wanted him for the semi finals, didn't
they? So, if that was McAllister's last game, why did Shrewsbury let him play? He must be staying for
really?
Another
was
one.
That his last
He's
game?
Been with us a month.
Was it his last game? I don't know.
Played five games, didn't he? Five or six games.
I'll have to find out.
From what I've seen of him, I'm quite surprised that Shrewsbury aren't playing, to be honest.
Well, he's been injured. He's been out a long time, and I guess Shrewsbury have been flying high, haven't they?
I think they've got three first-choice centre midfielders, and he's fourth in line.
Do you sort of upset a side that's been performing well?
I like him.
Yeah. He was quiet on Sunday when
he
got
that's
Sunday,
that's his
he?
Game, though, I think.
Yeah.
He's industrious and he's.
Does
he's
what
one
Bond
of the
should do. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Well, just a little bit more athletic than Bond,
well
isn't
done.
It? I think he's
Andy Bond. Well done, Andy.
No sign of him on Sunday, was
showed his class
at the final whistle.
He
came out by the final whistle.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
he picked the water bottles up.
He had a broom in his hand.
He won't see the other side of January.
I think this is a game that could be ongoing from 007 Brown. Name Stevenage's worst ever team by players, you know, like from left back to right back to goalkeeper. I think we'll work on that over the coming weeks.
Ray Houghton?
Goalkeeper, worst ever goalkeeper.
Do you want to start?
I don't like criticising players.
Should we just go around the circle, see if we can get to 11 without too much of a pause? Starting with Dean, goalkeeper.
Paul Wilkerson.
Worst ever?
Probably.
Even someone?
No, I didn't.
Nathan Abbey?
I was a Chris Taylor fan back in those days.
Yeah. Paul Wilkerson,
Was it Andy Quay? Andy Quay, was
it? Yeah. If you want to really go back, Steve Waldock.
See, I can't really remember.
We've been all right with goalkeepers over the years, haven't we? Really?
Who was Potter was floating around? I thought as a backup.
Alan Julian, Bezo.
Perez.
Yeah.
Lionel Perez.
Yeah. Alan Julian, there's a good case for him being one of our best goalkeepers and one of our worst goalkeepers.
Mark Westhead, he was all right,
wasn't
he?
Hey, Andy Woodman.
Andy Woodman. Yeah.
There you go. Done. Right. Moving on.
Andy Woodman, Premier League coach.
Ian King's got to be in there.
I've got a question for you, Steve.
I'm moving on
from Leicester Borough. Ask Steve about his assault course back up to the Tranmere press box just before GW's interview the other week, including commando rolling over at least two walls. Steve Watkins, commando rolling.
I had to go up to the top of that stand about six times in that game. And the last one was right at the end when Graham came out. I had to go and get.
Why did you have to go up six times?
Oh, just up and down and getting mascot pictures and.
See, I wasn't there. Yeah. I'd have done at least three or four of them. And what supermarkets have your fellow pundits been in before suddenly realising you're due on air shortly? I forgot I was doing an interview on Free Calvis at 6 o'clock last night, and I was in Tesco's at 10:02.
I saw John Ashton in Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's, I was in actually.
He is huge. He is huge.
And these people still dare to criticise him.
No.
Mental.
Didn't look at me twice.
Nah. Beardo would have stopped and had a chat.
Beardo would have stopped and slated me. or just texted you.
So
text Ollis.
We went in the bar after the game, didn't we, Sunday? And we spent a good hour defending Graham to everybody. Everybody's turned.
There is this.
What are we gonna? What's he gonna do?
There is a big.
He's got to change, hasn't he?
No. Do you know what? I like it. When he came back, everyone was slating him from the word go. He's had it too easy. Life got too comfortable for him. This is where he thrives. Everyone on him. Yeah, he'll be alright, won't he?
See, I went on the Three Counties last night.
Posting.
Yeah, well, this is the point I'm
going
to make.
Going anywhere, my friend.
I said to Jeff and Luke last night, the fans are fed up with his excuses, and you know, he came out with that after Carlisle. This is a big club. We
stop,
you know, in 2005. Maidstone are a big club.
First thing he said after the Maidstone game, they're a big club. I can see that in Carlisle.
Tranmere.
Happens when we got promoted to League One and we played Sheffield Wednesday and hammered them?
Did we care about United?
Did we care about him being a big club then? And we've founded ourselves and this mentality that we generated.
But it's where we were talking about earlier. He's dumbing down our expectation.
To what though?
So it weren't long ago though that he was bigging up our expectations and everyone slaughtered him for that as well.
Wasn't it when you got criticised for saying we'd finished 10th season we got relegated? Was that, did that coincide as the same season?
Yeah.
But the target always was the Championship. It always was the Championship.
It's not now, it's avoiding relegation from League Two apparently.
And
not having it.
Now, we just need a clear message, don't we? And I was saying the fans are... And Jeff and Luke both said, well, you're 4 points off the playoffs. Yeah, there are nine teams between us and the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
In between us and the playoffs.
You've still got to probably play most of those twice.
You know, and look at Luton. You only got to go on and win four or five games and you're in amongst it.
Yeah.
But I can't see us winning back-to-back games. We're going to win one, draw one, lose one. Win one, draw one, lose one.
I think we carry on with the same... set up. I'm not necessarily going to criticise the tactics, but the going forward. I'll go back to the going forward thing. I think
people were criticising his tactics on Sunday.
I said it about 3 weeks ago. I can't remember where I was standing next to, but I asked him to have a quick how I'd go about finding out what the odds would be for not winning back to back games for the remainder of the season.
In what way do you criticise the tactics, though? It's the tactics.
I don't think he had many options to start with. That starting lineup I'd have probably named.
Yeah, there wouldn't be too many.
We needed to change it earlier, though. We needed to change it half-time.
How many times do you say that, though?
I've seen him make changes at half-time before, and he should have made changes at half-time for me.
I mean, there used to be a time when you turn up at a game and you'd look at the team sheet and you'd think, blimey, there's two or three changes there. I wouldn't have. And we'd go out and we'd win the game. Now we're picking the same side. Well, the team sheet comes out and it's pretty much as you'd expect it to be.
But what is he far-arsing about... with fancy set plays, you know, like the offside corner, for example. Why? Because it was on. Is the FA Cup? It was on telly. Does he? You know, we had that. We were on the BBC thing, weren't we? If he, you know, there's a fancy set piece Stephen has just scored from. Let's just do what we do well.
What he does well with his players. But I think from a corner, every single time it drives me wild. Short corner, sling it in the box.
Yeah.
But we score about 3%.
What is the point? In playing it short back to the player who's supposed to be taking the corner foot, all he's going to do is put it into the box.
I assume that Darius was just going to swing it in with his left foot to put the keeper under pressure.
So I brought this up before and got mixed review to...
No, I agree entirely with you, but it does drive me mental. I just scream, get it in the box!
Statistically, I was reading a book that was basically breaking down football into stats, and I'm hesitant to kind of do it too much, but one of the things that they did do was look at corners across the top five leagues in Europe, so France, Germany, Italy, Spain and England, and there was an average of 2% conversion rate from corners across all the top leagues.
Direct from corners,
like just corner. Corner, just if a team gets a corner, how often do they have a shot at goal and how often do they go in? It worked out that it was a 2% conversion rate. And Jose Mourinho openly criticises English fans for getting so excited about us winning a corner, because he's like, I don't understand why everyone seems to think it's such a great goal scoring opportunity, because there's so few goals that... And that's not a Stevenage thing, that's not a League Two thing, that's a football wide thing. And I think that with the short corner, what you do is you remove the uncertainty of chucking it in the box and you retain possession, and then could you potentially... I'm not suggesting it's going to work, definitely, but I think it would at least be worth, you know, trying it out to see if you can retain possession from a corner rather than letting them attack from corners, which is
better than conceding from yourself, like we've been doing.
Some of the set pieces, and I know that everybody, you know, there's a good deal of murder that goes around some of them, but I quite like the fact that we're quite inventive on set pieces. So the little one where a player sort of darts around the back and gets fed the ball. I mean, we hit the posts against Tranmere with that very same thing, and it works.
But when you had a player,
I like one when everyone holds hands.
Nobody likes it when it doesn't work.
Oh,
when
it does roses.
Chelsea had a drop that the other night. I saw Chelsea doing that the other night. It's in their yellow kit. I see a photo of it. They're all going in.
I wonder how much of it is Wesley trying to revolutionise the way that people take set pieces, and how much of it is him actually doing what he thinks is best. And I think this whole points per game thing, it's like,
he didn't come out with that very much. Fall
into the same bracket of, is he trying to look at football from a completely different way for the sake of finding a new way to look at football, rather than because he actually thinks it works? Because I think Mark, I started reading that Barra Brain, which I'd never come across before,
isn't it?
And the statistical analysis of points per game from a variety of angles pretty much prove that you can't prove anything using it. So, I mean,
I think you had a point earlier. I think we've got some technical players in there, and with the lads we've brought in on loan, all we've done is added technical players in, and we're trying to force technical players to play a game that they're not used to.
Okay, alright, let me just put a question to you then.
Go on then.
Graham Wessey is no longer manager. You've got another manager in.
I can't believe you want Wesley out.
I didn't say
that. Oh, Steve, you'll be getting a text later.
Is there another manager who's going to take on exactly that same squad and make it successful?
I think that I can't say it would make it successful. I think you would probably potentially see a better brand of passing football than we do now.
You know, ridiculous as it might sound, I think it's actually the squad that Gary Smith probably would have wanted, because I think you've got players that are a lot more... He inherited a squad that were workhorses and not enough technical players for him.
Yeah, but none of these players ever played with Gary Smith in his playing career, so that wouldn't have worked. None of them started their career at AFC Wimbledon.
I'm not suggesting that many of them Gary Smith back by any stretch of imagination, but
I see what you're saying.
But ironically, he was the only person who signed a proper target man, and yet in Wesley is insistent on playing direct. I'm reluctant to call it long ball because I don't think it is long ball. I think it is just direct, get it up to the strikers as quickly as possible. And yet he seems to be unwilling, incapable, not sure of getting an actual target man. And yet in Marcus Haber, whether you liked him or not, what he was good at was being an unselfish target man, winning a lot of headers.
Yeah, but that's what Beardo isn't, a target man as you're describing. Beardo is getting it, holding it and bringing the midfield into play, laying it off, getting it back and then making a run. So it's a different...
He's never been wonderful with strikers, has he, Graham?
Another question.
Steve Morrison
didn't sign him.
No, but he made him a better player.
He did, but how many strikers have we been through?
He could have played for anyone in the school.
Yeah, Steve Morrison was always going to be...
Another question then. We've got the Darius's, the Beardos, Ash and whatever, the Graham Wesley players.
He's also brought in a lot of players that you would not say are Graham Westley players.
Conlon.
Well,
Charlie Adams.
Conlon, Jeb, Adams, Lee, Joanne, Weldale, Walton, possibly, I don't know.
Josh and Jeb.
I mean, he's brought them in. What's the logic behind that? To turn them into Graham Westley players or to bring another dimension to the game?
He refutes it. How many times he's sat there and said, well, what's a Graham Westley player then?
Yeah. Well, we all know what a Graham Westley player is. I mean,
that's
I mean, there's a lot to be said
completely
for...
gets your question in, doesn't it?
What I'm saying is he's brought in these other players that aren't in that mould.
Yeah, but he's got to evolve, hasn't he? He can't be Graham Westley circa 10 years ago.
Can't be a dinosaur.
Tom Pett, how would you?
But Luke Freeman's a similar example, though. Isn't
you had a bit of strength. You had a bit of Graham Westley to Tom Pett, and I think he would be absolutely phenomenal.
I was saying this the other day. Graham Westley 5 years ago wouldn't have gone near a player like Jeremiah Jeb, would he?
He's signing
a central midfielder on loan. Graham, who do you want? Get me someone from Arsenal. You realise what Arsenal play like? They don't like slinging and tackling. Yeah, get him in. He's exactly the sort of player I want. That is the complete opposite to anything before. Mm. 5 years ago, we got Darren Murphy. He couldn't kick a ball straight, but he could kick anything inside.
Yeah.
I just don't know where we're at.
You don't know, and you followed the guy for 10 years. Sometimes I wonder if the players know. And I look at him in that technical area, and the way he is, I'm not sure he does either. They're obviously not doing what he wants them to do, which is why he's getting so agitated and so arms, and he's going red in the face. And he was always a bit like that, but
I think that was quite obvious on Sunday in particular.
They're not doing what he wants them to do, which means to me, he's not getting his message across to them. Or they're too stupid to carry out his instructions.
Or
they're too technical and think that they're better than it.
Or they're different types of players to the way.
Because you look at what happened on Sunday, and I think Sunday proves your point really well, that we started off playing long direct passes into the flanks, which we've done for so long. And then all of a sudden they started playing football, and we actually looked like the league team playing the non-league team. And it was like the players just went, sod this, I'm going to do what I want.
And, do you know
and all of a sudden started playing football and it seemed to...
And I think this is why people are so frustrated, because they think that this team is actually better than 16th in League 2.
Yeah, this team for me is better than long balls into the flanks. It is. They're better than cutting out the midfield. They're better than Simon Walton having to pick the ball up 20 yards out from his own goal and ping it diagonally to the other
wing. And I don't think it even comes down to his expectations. People say, oh, our expectations are too high because we've been too successful recently. But I don't think it is. I think it is exactly what you're saying, that we look at the players as individuals and what they're capable of, and I think they are better than this. And I think everyone does. Mm.
We're not silly. We've seen some rubbish down here.
We've seen some diabolical Graham Westley teams.
Yes. How many times have we had players in that team where we've said... For God's sake, just do not pass to the geezer. Do not just if you've got to hit it long to avoid giving it to whoever that is. Just for crying out loud, get that ball long.
Simon Webster.
Right.
Yeah, do you know what I was thinking of him as well,
chaps. We've spent best part of an hour.
Have we
discussing that?
I told you he was going to be a good guest.
Do you know Simon Webster was in my head? Because earlier the two things were worst 11.
Yeah.
And worst game you've ever seen, and I think the one I could think of was 1-1 away at Canvey, and Simon Weatherstone played, and the closest we came to doing anything was him blasting the ball onto the beach.
there was worse than Simon Weatherstone. His brother was one of them. Anyway, let's move on. There's plenty to talk about, no doubt, for many a week over that. What we've just discussed.
So in answer to Sev's question, whether people's,
we don't know.
Whether people's apathy towards the club is a result of too much success or because this is the worst football we've ever seen, I don't think it is the worst football we've ever seen.
Definitely not.
And it is because we want a little bit better. Not a lot, Graham. Just a little bit better. Win two, draw one, lose one. Rather than win one, draw one, lose one.
And go, do you know what, that isn't working, maybe we should try something else.
An appeal to Graham Westley from Dino Thompson there.
Yeah. He won't hear it though.
Play your cards right.
Play your cards.
He right. won't have got this long into it. He'll be texting us asking for Ryan's number.
Right,
has Dino got older charge yet?
1998-1999.
Here we go.
You're opening.
Who won the question? Oh, Steve. Yeah, he went for 1,000. Sorry, it was a long time ago. Come on.
Right. Oh, I've turned my camera on here. I've had a
struggle with this. I think this is.
I have had a night. Right, you're opening player, now. Steve.
Go on.
With 14 appearances.
Yep.
Ross Harrison.
Blimey, right.
Scored against Woking.
Yeah, he did. Richard Hill signing, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Higher or lower?
Who?
Richard Lepeter.
Higher.
Out early doors.
Another Richard Hill signing.
Oh, right. So,
Richard, who?
Your poorest performance to date?
Blimey,
no.
I think I'm going to struggle with this.
You got to get to 5 for a point. Richard Ledbetter, 12. Lee Harvey.
Higher.
With 46.
That was a difficult one.
Higher or lower than Lee Harvey? Chris Taylor.
Ooh.
First choice goalie. Is it Paul Wilkerson season or was it a Chris Taylor season?
Lower.
It is lower with 40.
Chris Taylor, good goalkeeper.
Good goalie. Always used to see him out in Edwards on a Saturday night with Neil Ilman.
Edwards, wow. Hey. That is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris Taylor's 40. Higher or lower? Michael Love.
Higher.
It is higher with 47. What a fantastic debut from Ryan.
Michael Lovey Love.
Only because I remember singing Michael Love
a lot
when I was 14.
Yeah. Okay. Higher or lower than Michael Love. So Steve Berry.
Ooh. Lower.
He's lower with 36. He's one away.
36. That was
one away from the first guest point of the season. Steve Berry on 36. Higher or lower?
This is like a 7 though, isn't it?
Dwayne Plummer.
Lower.
It is lower. And there is a point.
The likeable Dwayne Plummer.
My
lovable,
sister bought his flat.
For him?
Off him.
Like your sister. She's nice.
He left 55 empty shoe boxes.
Helmet. Right.
Bit of editing
he
for
was
you, Steve.
Marcus Haber before Marcus Haber was.
Yeah. Okay, so all we can do is get to 10 where you'll bag 3 points. Higher or lower than Dwayne Plummer's 26. Carl Alford.
Higher.
50.
Highest score so far.
Higher or lower than Carl Alford's 50. Mark Smith.
Ooh. That's well thought out question, that.
Well done, Pete Heyman.
Got to be higher.
I'm going to say higher. I'd imagine he was probably an ever-present.
51. This is the best performance so far. Higher or lower?
14.
Higher or lower?
Like going higher than a king getting
the
an 8.
Mark Smith's 51. Noel Blackwell.
Given that I've never heard of it, I'm going to say lower.
1.
He was our captain when we got out of.
You might not have a go. I've only got 20 players.
Diadora League.
It was an unbelievable performance.
Noel Blackwell played.
Once.
Mm.
Could have been 2 minutes off the bench.
Mm.
Did you say you excluded everyone below 7?
Not this week. Didn't say it this week. Normally
just checking.
Pete did this. Higher or lower than Noel Blackwell of 1? Dennis Gallagher.
Well, if you had Chris Taylor, Dennis Gallagher didn't play, surely.
Includes sub appearances and I'm going to go higher.
It is higher with 7.
Houses.
Well, you need one more to go ahead of Steve's season total with 3 points. Higher than Des Gallagher 7. Robin Trott.
Higher.
There it is. That is 10. This is ridiculous.
Surely he has to retire now.
No. If he gets
can I declare, is that
if you get to you can declare if you want to declare. Yeah, I've got 20 players.
I don't want to carry on.
You want to carry on?
I've had my picks.
If we get to 15, then I don't know how many points I'm going to give
he
you.
He was 13 that season.
And he knows more than you.
There's an element of luck.
Football Manager. Enough,
and you've watched about 700 games of in Stevenage history.
This is unbelievable performance. Okay, so remember we'll go one more.
Go on then.
There you go. Robin Trott's 26. Player that I can't remember. Dominic Naylor.
You can't remember.
Left back.
Tough as boots, left back.
Left back. Okay. From Dagenham.
Got a spleen injury, didn't he?
He's gone lower. Unfortunately, it was higher.
Dominic Naylor. Was he Dagenham?
28. So that is 3 points to the guests from Ryan.
Should have declared while I was winning.
Well done, Ryan Davis.
Yeah, very good.
That is a phenomenal performance. Right.
Dino. Dino. After the show.
You can only get 9 now.
Okay.
Higher or lower than Dominic Naylor's 28?
Don't remember, you can only get 9, Dean.
Ryan Kirby.
Higher.
Right, that's that done with then. Ryan Kirby at 20.
One of my most favourite players of all time, Ryan Kirby.
Yeah, I loved Ryan Kirby.
Smudger was top.
Smudger was top with 51. We were going to move on to Stuart Beaver's 32. Rodney Macari.
Yeah.
3. One of my favourite Stevenage players' names of all time, Paul Mahorn.
Yeah.
6.
Yeah. Paul Mahorn. I remember Mick Baldwin over on the East Terrace coming up with a great song, but I can't remember what it was.
Errol Telemac, 8. Rob Keane, 8. Jimmy Strouts, 18.
How did he do that? So Jimmy Strouts.
Box to box midfield.
How did he do that?
Well done to Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. To Pete.
Yeah. Good.
So, Steve, in one fell swoop,
Paul Mahorn,
you are now not winning anymore.
Yeah, but I still have had a point for last week because I
still
won
not
that
be
one.
Winning.
Anyway,
brilliant
Saturday,
brilliant feature,
Cheltenham.
Saturday, Cheltenham.
I ain't going. All them Premier League fans in the ground, you're having a laugh, aren't you?
Yeah. Bring your season tickets. And
Dave Toyne slaps his forehead. Thanks, boys.
The only reason I posted that thread on Borough Chat is because I've seen his tweet saying. Just put my tin hat on or something. What are we just about to do here?
Cheltenham, up and down season.
Byron Harrison. Like him. I always liked him.
I always liked Byron Harrison until we try to make him
How's
not
he
be
doing?
Byron
I haven't
Harrison.
Seen, haven't seen his...
Well, he scored 3 last Saturday.
Did he? Byron 5-0, didn't they?
How did they do that? Swindon, how did they beat Swindon, who are a top 5 side in League 1?
Just shows you what League 1's like, though, I think.
He'll
it?
Score.
No, he won't. Ash will give him a little knee in the back of the groin early doors. And he won't want to go near it.
But you know, this is the thing. I started to chat. I'll do it quickly. But between Ash and Wells, what you've got is, you know, one really strong centre back, one pretty quick centre back, and I think between the two of them, that you're going to be pretty hard pressed to find a striker who's going to really run them ragged.
Oh yeah, I think they're running ragged.
As a pairing, do you know what I mean? Like,
I just hope Ash is all right.
Predictions, Mark?
Oh, I don't know, you've just thrown me with that filthy look you just gave me.
you touched his microphone.
Jesus, what? I ain't got a clue. 2-0, Stevenage.
1-0, Stevenage.
1-0.
1-0. Oh, blimey. I don't know.
Sorry, but come on.
In terms of what we've seen the last few weeks, I'm going to go... Tool.
Brilliant.
Okay.
We've got Maidstone away coming up with the prize a trip up to Wrexham.
Jeepers creepers.
Pro Direct Soccer will be doing some trading in AstroTurf boots this week. Stevenage order in.
That'll be a tough one. If we get past Maidstone, wouldn't it? It's not.
We'll destroy them. I don't know what everyone's
worried
about.
Said that last week about Maidstone, Mark.
It's a tenner to get in at Maidstone.
So standing or sitting?
Standing seats £12.
What? We're allowed to stand though.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 331 tickets.
Interesting. Now we've
bet
been
we
able to agree that price with them. Yet it was still normal prices on
sale Wednesday afternoon.
It was Saturday, £15.
Was it £15?
Oh, on general sale Friday, 10 o'clock.
Bet we don't sell them all.
I bet.
I'll be surprised if we take 15.
I don't think.
I know, as pessimistic as that sounds, but the fact it's on telly.
I don't think sales will be brisk.
Okay, well, we'll be struggling to get back in before that Maidstone game, I'm sure.
Oh, will we? Where have we got on?
Because then we'll have Northampton 2 days after that as well.
Well, we could be here next week, couldn't we?
That would be Wesley's fault, wouldn't it? Someone about, I haven't read the forum. I imagine somebody said, oh, if we're, people like Wesley more, they might be playing that game for us.
Not when Chris Wilder's involved.
Chris Wilder.
Wesley will be on the phone. Wesley will be on the phone with him in the morning, won't he?
Mr. Nescafe himself. We'll be back probably after the Northampton game with no doubt plenty more to discuss. My thanks to Ryan.
Good guest. Good performance.
No gift.
And then we have
no food tonight.
Then we have Dino and Mark as well.
Yeah. Well. Thanks for having us.
Podcast was brought to you in association with www.boroughguide.co.uk. If you'd like to contact the podcast team or contribute to a future edition, please email us at aloadofoldtoffee@gmail.com, and that's with no spaces. You can also join us on Facebook by searching for A Load of Old Toffee, or you can follow us on Twitter at Old Toffee, again, no spaces.
A Load of Old Toffee.
Load of Old Toffee.